in his words and just speak the truth so you can hear. And as you hear the words, dear Lord, if your heart is turned and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, dear Lord, we just ask you to come forward. We ask this in each one of you that could be lost. We ask all this precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, good morning. You guys ready today? All right, grab your Bible, open with me to Romans chapter 12. As you're turning there, just to catch us up a little bit, we have been asking for several weeks, what is your purpose? And the heart behind this is that each one of us would not try to overcomplicate or try to figure it out, but we can dive into the Word. We can know what God's plan is, what His will is for our lives. And so today, we want to jump in and begin to continue to discuss this. Today, we will end this series, if you will. Next week, we will start as we are looking to the cross and to the resurrection of Jesus as Easter's coming. And so we will be worshiping Him. And then at the end of service today, we will remember the price that Jesus paid on the cross and what that means for us. Today, just before we dive into Scripture, as we look to seek to answer what is my purpose, today I just want to give you just bluntly and clearly, what is it? And the first one, just as you think about, we are called to give glory to God. We're called to give Him glory. And everything that we do, everything that we say, whether we eat or drink, even in the mundane things of life, that we give Him glory. In other words, we live a life worthy of Him. The second thing, just as we look at, we see that there is the great commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And in answering this, He told us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And so as we look at this, we see that we are to love others. And man, that's clear. As we love God, there's not going to be anything that we learn about God that doesn't make us love Him more. And so as you learn and as you grow and love with God, it will always lead us to love others and to love them well. And then to be part of the mission is the great commission that Jesus gave us, and that's to make disciples. We are called to take the truths that God teaches us, to experience the grace and the love and the mercies and extend those to others and impact people's lives. And I would even contend that that is the greatest way that we can love somebody, is to be able to share with them how they can grow in their walk with the Lord. As we dive into Romans chapter 12 here, this is what chapter 12 is going to unpack for us. Paul is going to say that because of, or therefore, the mercies, and he's going to point back to the mercies of God. We could spend hours literally unpacking all of Romans chapters 1 through 11, and he's pointing back to it saying, because of these mercies, because of the grace that has been shown to us, and then he says, therefore, do this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Be renewed in your thinking. And then even gives us very practical things that we are to do as we love God, as we love others, and ultimately as we have a relationship with those who are far from God and proclaiming the gospel and living in such a way that they see Him in us. And so today that's what we're going to unpack. We're going to unpack these three relationships: our relationship with God, Paul's going to encourage us in that, our relationship with each other. He's going to encourage us in how we are to treat one another. We're to build each other up. We're to encourage one another on towards maturity. And then ultimately our relationship with those who are far from God. And he gives language like, even if your enemy, someone who is your enemy, if you find that they are hungry, serve them. Give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And so we're going to unpack why he would lead us to do this and ultimately why he would have us on this journey of making disciples. And so before we even begin, that's what I want to challenge you with, is why would he say make disciples? Why would he tell us? Why would this be the mission? And so just to answer this question in a couple of ways, the first one is that he commanded us. He commanded us to make disciples. And so if for no other reason than just that, that should be enough for you and I to be obedient to make disciples. The second thing is, I think we can look at, is the math just makes sense. To give you a couple of scenarios, and we've looked at this before, but let's just say that I had the gift of evangelism, and because of that, I was able to lead someone to the Lord every day of the year, every day of my life. And let's say I was able to do that for 30 years. So if you do the math, 365 times 30, it comes to about 11,000 people. It's a lot of people. But if I was to choose to just disciple one person for a whole year, and then they multiplied, so after that year, now both of us went and grabbed somebody and we discipled them. If that multiplication would happen for 30 years, it would literally be over 1 billion people if that multiplication continued. So the math makes sense. We see that God has promised us that if we will make him known, that he will bless that as we make disciples who make disciples. And somewhere along the way, as we looked at last week, is that we do things in church because I think we see other people do it instead of being obedient to the things that he has called us to do. And so I want to challenge us today as we continue, as we finish out talking about what is your purpose, I want to challenge you to be willing. Am I surrendered to God to do it his way? To realize that he has called me as a disciple to follow him and that I will follow him in the ways that he has called me to follow and that we'll trust him. As we dive in to Romans chapter 12, Warren Wiersbe, in just reflecting upon this, this is what he said in his commentary. He said, "What we believe helps us to determine how we behave. It is not enough for us to understand Paul's doctrinal explanations. We must translate our learning into living and show by our daily lives that we trust God's word." In other words, and I'll finish out his quote here in just a second, but in other words, he's saying all that Paul had laid out in the doctrines and teaching truths to us from chapters 1 through 11, it's not enough just to understand the explanation to these doctrines. It should be a place that we learn it so that we can live it. He said this, "If we have a right relationship to God, we will have a right relationship to the people who are part of our lives. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." Here he's quoting from 1 John chapter 4. So, before we even dive in, I know that here this morning that there are people from every different spot upon your journey with Christ. Maybe you're here today, you're just questioning. Maybe God's been doing some things in your life and you decided, hey, I think I'm going to go to church this morning. Or maybe someone drug you here, okay? First off, I'm glad you're here, whatever the case was. But maybe you're here, you've been a believer for a while, but for whatever reason, there just seems to continue to be these struggles. Maybe it's a struggle of sin. Maybe it's a struggle in your marriage. Maybe they're just in life, there seems to be an instability of decision making. Maybe you're here and you would just say, man, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I know that God still is at work. I know that he wants me to be more mature or to be more intentional. Maybe you're here today and you are really excited just about what God has been doing. He's been leading you to a closer walk with him. You've been experiencing him on a day-to-day basis. Then I just want to tell you, wherever you're at, whatever you come in here with, that as he has given us his spirit and placed his spirit in us, and as we are surrounded by so many brothers and sisters in Christ, that together we can, as we sharpen one another, as we dive into God's word together, then he can overcome and lead us on to maturity. He will empower us or encourage us or help us. Listen, if there's struggles in a marriage, I want to tell you, as each one of you surrender to the plan that God has for your life, then he will mold you and lead you and direct you. Then he will bring you closer together, and that you can realize, even if you don't see it right now, that he has brought you together ultimately for his glory. And I want to tell you, trust him. Trusting. Make disciples. Be a part of a discipleship group as you are surrounded by other believers who are just going to hold you accountable. Dive into the Word of God, that as you surrender to it and surrender to His plan, He'll lead you to a closer walk with Him. And so, we need Him. I don't know if you realize this yet. We need Jesus. We need Him to help us to be the man or woman He's called us to be, the husband or wife, the father or mother. I'm telling you, there's no way that any of us have a shot at being worthy, living a life worthy of Him without Him. So let us today draw near to the Lord, cry out to Him. We need you. If you don't mind, if you're able to, stand as we read God's Word. We'll begin. Romans chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. First two verses will be very familiar as we have gone through this, this time together looking at His purpose. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, that one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Haughty means think of yourselves more highly, like I'm above you. But instead, listen to what he says, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We are so thankful for these very clear, pointed, even just clear commands that we are to have in our lives. And we pray that today that you would mold us, that you would help us to live the life that you have called us to, that we will see them as clear statements that we can apply to our lives. And so, God, I pray that today you would open our eyes to see, help us to leave here changed, encouraged, and challenged by your truth. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here he starts off this section. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. So chapters 1 through 11, he has unpacked many of the mercies of God. Again, it would take hours for us to unpack them all, but just to help you see a couple of them. Chapters 1 through 3 of Romans, we see him that through his mercy, him revealing human sinfulness and the need of a Savior. We see that he is helped us to understand that all of us have sinned and that there is no one in this world that is with without excuse, but all can clearly see that God is at work, but at the same time, we are sinful. We see in chapters 3 through 5 that we, because of God and because Him sending Jesus, that we can be justified. In other words, we can now be in a right standing because of the payment of Jesus upon the cross. We see in chapters 6 and 7 that we, those who believe in Jesus, are unified with Christ and that we are free from sin. We no longer are bound. No longer are we under the control of sin, but because of Jesus and the payment, we are set free. And because of the Spirit that He's placed in us, we can overcome and truly be set free. We see in chapter 8 that we now, though we're dead spiritually, are alive. And we have life in Christ and because of the Spirit. And then we see in chapters 9 through 11 that God has a sovereign plan. And as we trust Him and follow Him, that He has a plan. And we're to look to Him and trust that plan even when it's hard. And so today, because of many of those mercies, because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, because He has come and He has died and He has risen from the dead, you and I now, we can offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We can trust Him and believe that through the power of the Spirit, He'll renew our mind. And what a great promise of chapter 2 that you and I can know, we can discern what is the will of God. Now, we have the Word of God. And because we have the Word of God, we can know His will through the Word of God as He speaks to our hearts. So there is this generalized command or plan that God has, a will for our lives. And so when you don't know, I hear all the time, well, what is the will of God for my life? And I was like, well, we have His revealed will that He has given us in the Word of God. Like, there is so much that we are to obey because of the commands that He has given us. Amen? So when you don't know what to do, seek the Word of God. What am I to do? Follow that. But then I believe that along the way, He will give us the next step. And so be obedient now, today, with the truth that God has shown you and revealed to you. And then when you come to a place when you don't know exactly what it is that I am to do in this moment, then you cry out and you abide in Him. Be led by His Spirit because He will lead you in those moments. And we can trust Him for that. And so, as we are a disciple of Jesus, as we believe in Him, as we surrender our lives to Him, how are we to live? Well, as we offer our bodies as living sacrifice, as we have our minds renewed, and as we seek His will, then we will truly be led by His Spirit. We will be the Spirit-led follower. We'll follow Him, and we'll be led by His Spirit, empowered by His Spirit, as we've unpacked over the weeks before. The command is clear. Present our whole self as living sacrifice daily. Here I am. How do you want to use me? And then as we abide in Him, we'll be able to discern God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Second thing that we'll see, verse 3, is that we will be a fruitful and called to be a fruitful reproducer. In other words, we're called to come alongside one another as a faith family, as a body, as the church, and we're called to edify one another. In other words, we each one of us should come alongside another based upon how God has gifted you and that we're to help each other to grow and move on to maturity. He has given us, sitting here, men and women who are gifted and gifted in ways that each one of us need, helping us, learning to discern and walk. So we need each other. We need each other to sharpen us. And so I believe that as we are involved in discipleship groups, that iron sharpens iron. And as we live our lives, that He will use people and has in mind use people at just the right time to encourage me when I was down, or people at just the right time to help sharpen me to see truths or to walk out plans that I hadn't yet understood. And so we need people. Think of the many ways, he lists them here in verses 6 and 8, many of the different ways that we are gifted. We see prophecy, we see serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, all of these different ways that God would lead you and has gifted you to come alongside and encourage other believers. Verse 9 says, let love be genuine. As we love God, the third thing that I think that we see is that he will lead us to love others. And this love that we give to others will be intentional. There is no way, you hear the story of this couple, older couple, that, you know, they've reached their 30-year, 40-year anniversary, and, you know, the wife is kind of getting, you know, he just doesn't ever say that he loves me anymore. And he's like, well, I told you when we got married, I love you. And if that ever changes, I'll let you know. You know, I mean, we kind of have that, you know. But I want to tell you that your words, just your words, really don't have a whole lot of meaning, right? And I think that we can say we're going to do things, or that I love you, whatever it is, action, man, speaks so much louder. And if you're going to be an intentional neighbor, if you're going to intentionally love people that God, of your circle of influence, your coworkers or your family or your neighbors or the people in the community, it's going to be by your intentional, many times even sacrificial way that you love them. I met with a family yesterday. They actually had two people this week die in their family, and they're going to have two funerals on the same day this next week. And so they asked me if I would preach both of those. And, you know, I love being able to love on families when they're hurting and to be able to point to hope. And as they were talking about one of the family members, man, I was so challenged and encouraged by this family member. Each one of them talked about how intentional that this lady loved them. One of them wasn't even part of the family. It was just somebody, a young kid, maybe eighth grade, he said, who was just brought in to the family. Like, he just showed up at the house one day. They had invited him to come with some of the other kids that were going to be staying, and they loved him. And they brought him in as part of their family, and still to this day, his kids were like her grandkids and vice versa, I mean, and so on. But they said, but I wasn't the only one. That sometimes they would just go, and if there was someone who had need, they'd bring them in. And they said, people after people that this lady intentionally loved stood beside. One of the ladies there, she said that I was going through the hardest thing in my life. I think she was talking about the loss of a brother. And she said that she had called me, and knowing and realizing that that call wasn't enough, she says, I'm coming, and drove over an hour to her house and stayed with her for several days. Slept in her bed with her, got up, fixed breakfast with her. I mean, such a beautiful picture of, I'm going to intentionally love you. And I want to say, and I want to remind us, listen, if there is an eternity at stake, then why would we not sacrificially love? And so you and I, we must be an intentional neighbor. We must let love be genuine, he says here. Listen to what he says. He says, abhor what is evil. It is literally to come up against or to hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful. In other words, don't be lazy, but outdo one another. Stand with one another in whatever it is that you're going through. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. So here, as he's talking about, that we love one another, we're intentional. And it even goes on into those who are against you. So not just fellow believers, but now even to people who would come against you. Bless those who persecute you. I don't know about you, but that's not my first gut reaction, right? When someone cuts me off or tells me I'm number one when we're driving, that's not my first thing to do, is to wave at them with a smile and say, I hope you have a good day. I want to be there. I want to bless them. But that's not my gut reaction. I'm much like, you know, the disciples I remember James and John, who, you know, they went to this town, a Samaritan town, and they were, many of them were rejected. You know what they did? They asked Jesus. They go, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire on this town? You know, and he's like, no. You know, it's a good thing we don't have that power, right? Because that might be the way we want to respond in situations. But instead, what does he tell us to do? When those who persecute you, bless them. I mean, is this not what Jesus did? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And so you and I, we must understand that there is an eternity at stake. And if we're prioritizing the kingdom of God, then we will be selfless and we'll serve. Even as he continues, he points out for you and I to serve our enemies. Now, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. It doesn't matter what you come from or how high you get in some sort of executive position. You and I are to love those in lowly positions. We are to, no matter who they are, we're to love them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. What a great truth that is freeing if you and I can realize that our enemy is not against flesh and blood. It is always against the powers and the systems and the things and the rulers and the authorities of this world. And I want to tell you that if we realize that our enemy is not flesh and blood, then what can man do to me then, right? What can flesh and blood do if I've already decided they are not my enemy? No matter what they say, no matter how they try to persecute or even whether they see themselves as my enemy, it doesn't mean I have to see them that way. I can love them, I can serve them, and I can do that selflessly. But here's the thing, our pride rises up in us. And our pride says, no, you need to know what I know. You need to realize that I can do this. You need to know that I'm strong. And so instead of loving or serving, many times that pride rises up. And if we're not careful, we'll even do it to the people who are closest to us. Sometimes our pride will rise up even in our marriage relationships or sometimes even with our own kids. You just disrespected me. You need to know you do not disrespect me. You see, this pride will rise up. Sometimes even in our conversations, we'll try to defend ourselves as though, I was meeting with a couple one time and man, they were getting after it in the office. I mean, there were name calling and F-bomb. I mean, it was bad. And so I had to stop it. And ultimately, I looked at the husband, and I just gave him a challenge as a leader of the family. And I told him, I said, you know what? One of the things I just want to challenge you with is you don't have to defend yourself. You guys are one flesh. You guys are together. You're a team in this. And even if she attacks or name calls, you don't have to defend. I want to challenge you to just respond with gentleness, to respond with, and a great proverb that if a gentle answer will turn away wrath. And I want to challenge you just in life. Here, God is telling you, he says, never avenge yourselves, but leave it. Leave it to God. Allow God to defend you. Allow God to stand up and defend your right. And I believe that he will. And so whatever the situation is, because here's what I found, is that when I respond with the same force of what has come at me with, is now the other person, whoever started it, feels justified because now we both raised our voice. We both called names. And it doesn't matter. No one remembers who started it. But if I can respond with gentleness and respect, then what it does is, according to the word here, it says, for even if we are kind and serve, even when someone is attacked, it says, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. your gentle answer, your laying down of pride and serving and loving intentionally, selflessly, what it does, this burning coals on the head, is it makes them feel foolish. It makes them feel and understand how maybe even evil they have been. Maybe it would help them to realize the guilt and the shame of what they have done. And so, what God is challenging us to do is to realize that He is a good Father. And if someone has wronged you, He'll take care of it. Leave it in His hands. Trust Him. Call to Him. But you respond in a way that is loving, in a way that is intentional, a way that is selfless, a way that is humble, and trust Him for the results. And so, as we follow Jesus, as we are His disciples, then we will be a Spirit-led. As we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, as we allow Him to renew the way that we think and the way that we see this world, we'll trust Him. We'll be fruitful. We'll be fruitful reproducers because now we're willing to allow Him to use us to sharpen others. We'll love our brothers and sisters. We'll help them along in their maturity. And I'll tell you, I have been so excited over my discipleship group just in the way that I've got to see them grow and mature and overcome things and be bold or encouraging even to one another. You'll be an intentional neighbor. You'll see that as God loves you and as you love God, He will lead you to love others. And so you will gladly intentionally love those around you because you know that that's the calling. You see that the great commandment, as we love God, we'll love others. We'll see that He loves them, and so should I. And then we'll also be a selfless servant. We'll prioritize the kingdom of God, and so therefore it won't be about my name or about my respect or about what my pride, but instead I'll gladly, selflessly lay that down because I desire for God to be glorified, for God to be honored. And so I just want to challenge you. As we have looked through Romans chapter 12, as He has given you a challenge here, how can you respond? What would be the application? And so just to ask a couple of questions along the way, do you know and live truth? Have you, are you abiding in Jesus? Do you have time where you're opening God's word? If not, I just want to challenge you. It is alive. This book is alive. It will speak directly to the things going on. It will come alive and help you and pierce the areas of your life and of your heart that God still needs to mold, or maybe you've hardened. Open God's word. And I believe that He'll speak to you through it. Are you surrendered to God? Have you come to this place where you say, here I am. I want to live life your way and according to your plan. Are you led by His Spirit, trusting Him? Are you an intentional neighbor? Do you love people? Do you love them intentionally? Do you love them so much where action has happened? Remember, intentional means I have to choose to do it. I have to think about it, process it, willingly plan it sometimes. Are you reproducing? Are you making disciples? Are you part of a reproducing group? One that the whole purpose is that you grow and mature and then reach out to others and challenge them to do the same. Do you live as a selfless servant, willing to obey God and all because of His kingdom? I want to challenge you as you think through these. Do you know Him? You see, the mercies that He pointed us to in the beginning, because of this, therefore, because of the mercies of God, maybe you've not yet understood the grace that He has shown you. Well, let me help you. You see, every one of us are born into this world separated from God. This world is broken. I mean, I think even the most recent events of yesterday and this week, wars and all that is going on in our world right now, we see the brokenness of it. But then look closer. Look at yourself. We are broken and separated from God as well. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I have sinned against God. We've lied, we've stolen, we've looked upon someone with lust. Jesus would call adultery in our heart. used the Lord's name in vain. And one day we're going to stand before a holy God guilty. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death, meaning you and I deserve the punishment of God. We deserve to die. But God so loved you and me that he sent Jesus to come. Think about the life that Jesus lived. Jesus came and lived this sinful, sinless life. And not only that, he did miraculous things. But when he went to the cross, he died. The wages of sin was death. Someone had to die. And he died for you and for me as a substitute, paying the price that we deserved. And he tells us that if we will believe in him, and we'll believe in the payment that he made, that he didn't just die, but he rose from the dead because he is God, that we would be forgiven of our sin and made new, that we would be restored back to a right relationship with God, that we can know him and walk with him and be led by him. And I just want to tell you today, if you've not yet trusted in Jesus, look at the grace that he has shown, the mercies that he has, the love that he has shown you. He loves you, and he has a plan for you, and you can know him. And so if that is you, I want to challenge you today. Call to him. Cry out right now. Come to know him. I'd love to encourage you in any way that I can, but you can know him today. And so as we close out this service, I want to pray over us. Ephesians chapter 3. And as I get ready to do that, if you are going to help us today as we remember what Jesus has done through the Lord's Supper, would you guys go ahead and make your way forward? As they do, I'm going to pray over us, Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. As the elements are being passed around, I just want to remind you there are two cups, so be sure to grab both of them when you do. One is on top of, inside of another. Paul instructs us that as we take the Lord's Supper, that we examine our hearts, our lives. And when we examine ourselves, we're to think about all of the areas of our life. Am I honoring him? Think about the words that you say. Think about the way that you love or point people to him. Are you obeying the commands that he gives you? But also we are encouraged to remember. And so remember what Christ has done. Remember the payment that was made. Remember the life that he laid down. Remember, the sin that has been overcome. So in this time, I want to challenge you to worship, to lift him up, to thank him for all that he has done. As you begin to think about the body of Christ, I want you to think about the life that he lived, that he left heaven and all the authority that is there, and he humbled himself and came to earth. Think of the miracles that he performed. I even think of when he's arrested and beaten, nailed to the cross. You think of the humility of allowing your creation to nail you to the cross, man. And then remember the substitute, that he laid his life down for you and for me, that the punishment would not come to you, but it would be instead placed upon him. And so we remember. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, we do thank you for the body that you laid down, the payment that was made. And God, we praise you. We worship you for that. Help us to remember that. Help us to be ready to share of the hope that is in you with others. And that in so doing, that we also would remember. And so, God, we remember all that you have done. In this time, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we remember the blood, we remember that because of the blood that was shed, that there is a new covenant. A new covenant in Jesus, that we can be forgiven of our sin, that sin is atoned for, that the payment was sufficient for it, but also that there is hope. There's hope not just for us, but hope for everyone. And so let us remember the blood that was shed. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we thank you for the blood that was shed. We thank you, Lord, for the sins that have been overcome and atoned for. We ask, Lord, that we would live in such a way that is worthy of the payment that has been made, that we would follow you and surrender to you each and every day. Help us to be ready to point people, others, of where they too can have hope. And so we thank you. So we remember all that you have paid. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Remember that you have been sent by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope that you have a great week. I hope that you would walk with him, abiding in him, and pointing others to where they too can know him. Have a great week.